This is Shuffle, your backstage pass to Northeast Ohio's music scene. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. My guest today is the Akron hip-hop duo Free Black. They just released a new album in late October called Black Tuesday. And they've been a group together for about 4 years now. It's rapper Flaco Torres and beatmaker Holbrook Riles III, or HR3. And their 2018 self-titled debut album really made their presence known with this song, Surrender.
Yeah. From Willingboro to Highland Square, I've been a very good sport, haven't I, this year? I'm having a heaven-sized career, slightly hesitant of putting Sharpies under brassiers. I sign and keep it moving, unclutter your life and it gets less confusing. My coming, then we gon' walk to the movies. She think it's sold out and I tell her we good, you gotta trust in
me. And they haven't slowed down, exploring some heavy themes on their latest releases. Last summer, during the height of the racial justice protest, they put out Freedom Summer, inspired by the 1964 movement to get Black Americans registered to vote in Mississippi. Now they're out with Black Tuesday. It's referring to the October 29th, 1929 stock market crash and how it relates to today. I started by asking Flaco Torres about the meaning behind their name, Free Black.
The conversation that we were having, I was like, yeah, this kind of sounds like this works because we're talking about being two very different Black men in America, but being treated the same in a lot of different situations. The way people portray Black men and Black people is like, that doesn't add up. Like, it shouldn't be that way. So we wanted to create something that was, yeah, just kind of we're free to be whatever versions that we are. And when you think of a name, Free Black, I don't think you look at the two. Some people may look at the two of us and be like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, they're kind of like, his hair is green, he's got dreads, and if you hear us talk and joke or whatever. But then other people will think that it's supposed to be like some Black Panther group, and then they'll look at us and be like, I don't see that. Like, coming in all leather, you know, with the Black Panther Kangols, like, I feel like that's what people think it's going to be. And to an extent, some of the music is that. But yeah. So we wanted to create that idea. And then it morphed into, all right, well, when we look out from the stage, there's a lot of different types of people at our shows. So for you, you take the free part, and that's for the audience, and that's for the listeners. If you're being marginalized in any way or whatever that is, you take that part. It's Free Black for us, but it's free whatever for you. And we started saying that at the shows because I wanted to make sure people felt comfortable to let us be who we are, but also people be comfortable to be who they are.
I like that.
Out of my mind, I joke. The whole damn country got jokes. So I don't have the time to stand and play around with y'all. I never saw. Yeah. Living through an out-of-body experience, watching the mismanagement of grown men who think I'm mismanaging.
You know, Flaco, what I always say when I listen to your music is just the two of you, when you come together, it's like magic. Like, you two have always been playing and making music together. It seems so natural.
At first, it was weird because people were like, it's just another Flaco project. Mm. And that was because we didn't have, like, a lot of music. So people just hear my voice and they're like, oh, okay, this is another Flaco thing. And now we've been able to brand it to where people know the difference between my solo stuff and the Free Black stuff, which is cool. So
what is the difference?
I think for me, the sound and the way we approach the records, because I do most of my stuff with people through email. Like, I try to get in person, but it's just, especially the pandemic, it doesn't happen. But I think there's something about the way we kind of start at 30% and then we break it back down to zero, because you'll send an idea and I'll hear something completely different from what he was doing, and I'll like rearrange the beat and do all of these things or whatever, and then send it to him and he likes it and he'll say, oh, I like this part, it made me think of this or whatever, and then we do that 20 or 30 times.
So it's like a complicated process, it sounds like.
This third album, I realized that is complicated.
The most recent album has just been the most ambitious in terms of the track structure and also the features that we have. You know, we got Jerry Saprinetti, Theron Brown, Dave Rich, John P, the MC, Jewel Big Green, Peach Curls. It's the most full of an album, I guess I should say, that we've constructed thus far. Where the first one was just dark hip hop. And then the second one, we're like, okay, it's kind of the same, but it's a little lighthearted, a little brighter. And then this next one was just like, okay, we've got verses, we've got choruses, we got features. And, you know, there's like more or less like a balance there. And it's also really nice to be able to feature the talent that we have here in Northeast Ohio. So
I love all of the different musicians that you have pulled in for this, the guitar of Jerry and the piano of Theron Brown. And then you bring in Wesley Bright and his singing on Don't Make Me.
Who am I to be stepping up to the line? You're keeping me in your eye. Over and over, my patience you trying, you're not gonna make me a lie. I swear this gonna be the last time in my life.
This is such an eclectic album, and I love how you've just drawn in the players in this region to make something special. Talk about the theme, because Black Tuesday obviously has significance.
Earlier this year, it was like Vox or, you know, somebody, they brought up the Great Depression and how we were currently making some of the same mistakes. And my thought process was like, we all know what the Great Depression is, but that's kind of it. Like, everything crashed and boom, boom, boom. And I was like, I don't really know much about this. And I went and just did a Google search. I was like, what is Black? Like, Black Tuesday, Black Thursday? Like, what is that? The things that they were saying, from how credit was introduced to the stock market, and that related to the retail investor thing now for me with GameStop and all of that stuff. And I was like, oh, we're doing the same things again. And if it happens again, it'll be 10 times as worse. And then that's when I got the idea of, like, I think we should call this Black Tuesday. Put this idea out of, yo, this is happening. It may not happen in the same way. You may not realize it, but the company Afterpay is doing the exact same thing that they were doing in the 20s, where you could basically lease a General Electric refrigerator for 120 months, which is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that it was important for us to have that conversation with people and just kind of slip that in, like, hey, y'all, you know, maybe some of these things aren't the best idea to keep recreating.
Yeah, because you say I'm too aggressive. Money, that's the only way I see you get the message. Cycle of the same shit since the Great Depression. Quarter hood rich mixed with some black elegance. My garbage watch is the payment at your residence. You must be skipping on your meds if you don't know who am I.
But once you're aware that that's what the theme of the album is, it's all throughout it.
Yeah.
I mean, I notice a lot of the songs reference economic struggle or that theme.
I was in the library a lot, going through the encyclopedias, just like reading. And my thing was looking for themes from people. Like, there was a valet guy, and he invested in the stock market, like somebody helped him, made $100,000. Quit his job, obviously. And the way that they were saying it was, those were the people they would put in the papers. They wouldn't tell you the people that were making the slow, long-term money. They would tell you, hey, the valet guy from Carlisle Hotel made $100,000. You should invest in the market. The thing on Mischievous too, Dwight Powell, when everything crashed, he was like, there's something about too much prosperity that ruins the fiber of the people. That was his response to people losing their homes and losing their jobs. When they were talking about economic recovery, he was basically saying, this will help the people be stronger if we let them weather this storm.
Wow.
That's why it's like, no, bro, that ain't it. That ain't
we
it.
We would like to have a word with you outside, Dwight.
Yeah, you know I care like Duke Pearson on honey buns.
My art is equal in content, never in funds.
The price doubled like a stock bubble. This ain't a movie when the game stop. It's haves and it's have-nots. Pen like F. Scott, releases in the 20s. But you could keep the fame and the Zeldas wanting money. Last summer I told
you. So yeah, I pulled a lot of those themes from actual history and put them in the lyrics.
Well, one of the things that I know that you both did was you workshopped this new album.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
It was really dope. There was a bunch of different album listening party ideas I wanted to do, like different versions. We're telling you the album's not done. We don't even know if it's gonna come out in this way, but just follow us. Even if it's just five people, those five people are gonna love this album when it comes out, regardless of how it sounds, because they got that experience. So that was kind of the mindset behind the workshop. And one of the things actually made the album that wasn't finished, because I freestyled at the workshop,
right,
this thing about the stuff store.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah. So I freestyled that at the show, and I told people, I was like, this isn't done, but I think, like, do y'all like this? Like, this is something like this. And I actually wrote it. I had threw on, like, music from the 20s. It was like a playlist. When you think about the 20s, when you think about the Great Depression, like, that was the beginning of advertising. And I was like, oh, okay. We can have a couple of these in there. Like, we have the one at the end of True Love Is. And then there's, like, versions on the songs like Mischievous 2. The passage that I read from the research I had kind of feels like a mini commercial, like a political commercial.
Come on down to the New Stuff Super Megastore located on Main Street in Town Square. The New Stuff Super Megastore, where you can have whatever you want if you can make a payment. The New Stuff Super Megastore, where you can one-up your neighbors till death do you part or you lose your job. The New Stuff Super Megastore now has two-door General Electric refrigerators for no money down and a payment of just $3 a month for 120 months. The New Stuff Super Megastore has something for the entire family, even your least favorite child. We sell shoes, hats, dreams, self-esteem, and more. Why be bored when you can lounge with things you can't afford? The New Stuff Super Mega store where you can have anything you want if you can make a payment.
So how does the writing process work? Do you write the lyrics first? Do you write the beats? And the, like, how do you two work together?
Most times it's I'll send him beats and he'll write something over it and he'll send it back to me and we'll work in that sort of context. Or sometimes he'll say, you know, I've been thinking about this sort of theme. Can you make something over that? And then I'll work on something, like I'll pick a record or listen to a certain lyric from a certain sample and say, well, hey, maybe, or pick a beat previous that I've made and forgotten about and be like, hey, does this work? And then he'll work with that or like flip it in some sort of way and then send it back to me so that it does work. Like a lot of the beats that I picked, it's just to grab your attention and just like also make it sound like it's a storytelling groundwork. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Say, for instance, like 100%, that's what Curtis Mayfield's Keep On Keeping On from Roots. It was just like great for grabbing somebody's attention. Like, you know, everybody gather around, listen to my song.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm about to speak. This is my the subject.
80s baby, happy belated. We made it out the crab bucket, lightly sedated with scars on our ankles. You either shooting or you've been assisting with them angles. I'm angular with the rules. This game about as predictable as a coin toss. Y'all all chump change, a bunch of coin stars. My culture coins are phrased. The world bites.
Wow, that gives me such a greater appreciation for these songs. Just kind of hearing how they come together and how they work. I do want to go back to Freedom Summer that came out last year in the height of what was happening in the country with the racial justice movement. Can you reflect back on that album, Flacco?
We were gearing up for the, you know, full-length album and playing a lot of shows and doing all that stuff. We had just played our first show outside of Northeast Ohio in February 2020. And then when everything kind of shut down, we were like, all right, well, we're still going to record and we're going to do all these things. And then I think for me, Ahmaud Arbery was the first one that happened, and then George Floyd happened. Mm-hmm. But somewhere in between the two, again, reading, listening, doing something, the theme of Freedom Summer came up in something I was listening to or reading. And things that were happening in 1964, I was just getting that feeling of, because the pandemic made everybody have to watch, and I understand that, but it also made it more urgent now that everybody had to watch. When it was when it's just black people watching, it's kind of like, ah, we'll get to that. But when everyone is looking at this, now it's an international problem. And that was kind of how Freedom Summer was. It was like, now everyone is watching. Oh, what's going on down there in Mississippi? So that was where I was kind of like, again, we're doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing. So I think that we should call this project Freedom Summer. And we ended up with that collection of songs. And it was a lot brighter, but it was dope that it was brighter when you think about the idea of, for most of the country in 1964, you heard about Mississippi, but you didn't really have to pay attention to it. It wasn't like now with the internet, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So that was the idea.
Don't let your mouth drain your bank account. We've been the realest thing they talking about. Yeah, be who you want, don't let them talk you down. It's not as beautiful outside of your facade, is it? Me. Now drink some water, mind your business, get your money right. Me. I wanna see you sing this chorus back 100 times. Don't let your mouth drain your bank account. We been the realest thing they talking about. Yeah, be who you want, don't let them talk you down.
Cause free black is in the motherfucking house. Don't let your mouth drain your
really powerful.
Account.
Such a great album, too.
Thank you.
It's interesting that we can learn so much from your music, too.
And that's the next phase of the group is I'm trying to work us in the direction of now we know how to do this on purpose. So how can we tie in art, music, education, sampling, history, all of that into every time we do a project, we can slip these concepts out and help everybody learn, specifically younger folks too, because it's like we're going to get so much farther away from these concepts that in 10 years, Freedom Summer is going to sound like a foreign concept to someone that's 21 years old. How can we create these projects that will continue to educate? But yeah, you got to dig in there and really listen. You know what I'm saying? So
I love that. I mean, think of how many things we learn just by connecting to a song. It's powerful.
Like the thing we're doing now is like the album cover, and I made these graphics that look like a projector screen. Hmm. And all those clips are from the 20s, but I'm chopping the clips up to go with the themes of our songs, because it's like the feeling is already there, but I want you now to hear our version of it and watch these women dance to I Times 3, or watch the John Dillinger clips to like Bullets. It does something different, and it's gonna feel different every time you see it. And then now you've seen that clip, now go back and listen to Bullets. And then think about that time. Like there's so many layers of how you can make people feel different every time they listen to it, and also ask questions. Like, well, I don't know about the Great Depression. Why do they think that this is tied into the 20s? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I love that. And I love that when there's a song that you can keep getting a different experience every time you listen to it. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. So what's next for you two?
And that idea of our next project, hopefully being able to be this package deal where you'll get the same thing you got with Freedom Summer and Black Tuesday, but now we can present it in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we end up talking to schools. Maybe we end up just finding different elevated ways to present what this group offers. That's the next step. But for right now, just trying to get as many people to listen to Black Tuesday as possible and just enjoy it. Like, keep going back to it, keep listening, keep feeling different things. Tell us about it if you want.
Yeah, it's the same thing for me, because I listened to it one time through. I listened to it another time, and it's like every time I listen to it, it's not just like background music. It's like I'm paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different experience, I think, for me anyway, as far as music goes.
Our show is like that too, which I like that we're growing to learning how to do that on the albums, because you can't come to a free black show and ignore the show. People try.
Yeah.
People try. And like four songs in, they're like,
what?
Okay.
Turning your head. I have not been to a free black show yet, so I have got to make that a priority.
Hopefully there will be. We're trying to get another one before the end of the year.
Oh,
we're,
I hope
we're
so.
We're trying to, and we're trying to have it in Akron, so we'll see. Black Tuesday out now. Please download it on Bandcamp. You can stream it wherever you listen to music, but please download it on Bandcamp directly from us, because that's where we make the most money, and it helps us support this work. You don't ever have to listen to that version of the album if you don't want to. You could buy it and then still stream it everywhere, but it definitely does help us. And yeah, if you feel something about the album, please hit us up. Let us know, because that helps us too.
Yeah, so that's what I always say to people. Buy it on Bandcamp. You can still go to Spotify if you want. But just go buy the album. Do your part. Then go listen however you feel like it.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much, and congrats on the album.
Thank you.
You can find links and more information at wksu.org/shuffle. And we're also on Facebook. Just do a search for WKSU Shuffle. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you like it, consider rating and writing us a review. Join us next Thursday for a new episode of Shuffle. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. Thanks for listening.
The ones that mainly target the BOC. Let's start with the problems on the soil and underneath. And once you dig deep, you'll see.